guys. I am back. Welcome back to Just Eat the Cake with your host, Brittany. I took a little break from recording. We're going to talk about that, but it is the start of a new year and I am so excited to get back at it. We have so much to talk about. So let's get started, guys. Okay, I'm just going to jump right into it. So it's been a while since my last podcast. I think September. Well, I recorded in September, but ended up not posting. I just needed some time off. If I can just be 100% honest, I had to take a few things off my plate because things got really, really busy over the holidays and leading up to the holidays. And a lot of you guys probably know exactly what I'm talking about, especially if you're a mom. There's just a lot of pressure on us to make everything feel so special. We put it on ourselves, okay? I'll admit that. But it's just in our, it's what we do. It's in our blood. Can we help it? Probably not. It's okay. But besides all of that, work got really busy. I work in medical sales, and going into the cold and flu season is a really, really busy time. So all day every day, I was hustling. That took a lot of my energy because, you know, by the time I get finished with that and then baby comes home and I got to cook dinner, then we have kitchen duty and then put the baby down, I'm just exhausted, right? But on top of that, I kind of fell into a little side project that I'm having a lot of fun with. If you guys connect with me on social media, you know what I'm talking about. I started designing custom denim jackets, and it all kind of started from with my niece actually for her birthday, and I wanted to give her something special. I told my husband Kevin, I said I really want to focus on giving gifts that are, I don't know, the things that I can make, things that are special, things that, you know, not just a gift card to somewhere or another toy that's going to get thrown into a bin and forgotten about or whatever. I said I really wanted to give, I want to give things that are more meaningful, I guess, and from the heart. So I designed this cute little denim jacket that had her name in crystal or rhinestone and pearls on the back, and like little Western fringe, and then some other really fun iron-on patches. And it was so cute on her. She was adorable in it, you guys. The jacket is so cute. If you want to check it out, just go look at my Instagram page called Wild and Rare. Shop Wild and Rare on Instagram. And you can, there's not very many pictures on there yet, but I've got a lot more coming, but you can scroll down to the bottom and see what I did for her. But it was so cute. And that just kind of launched this idea of what else could I do, you know, painting on denim jackets or embroidery on denim jackets or whatever it might be. And football season and basketball season, I kind of had an idea of an Arkansas Razorback jacket. And at the same time, a friend of mine who owns a local boutique store, who, by the way, oh my gosh, everything in that store is adorable. If you live locally, just drive next door to Benton, Arkansas, to her store called True Boutique. Everything in there is so cute. But she was doing a holiday, oh, what do they call that? Like a holiday house, you know? But it's called Glitz and Garland in Benton, Arkansas, at the Benton Event Center. It's huge. So many different vendors there. And it's the first time I've ever been, but it was just overwhelmingly fun. True Boutique, who was doing this booth at this huge Glitz and Garland Christmas thing. I asked her, maybe we could put some jackets in her booth. And she said, can you do me some game day jackets? And I said, I think so. Luckily, I had already had ordered some stock denim jackets to come in that I could work on. So they were on the way. And I just got to work every night for like 2 weeks. As soon as our toddler went to bed, I came upstairs in my craft room and started working. And it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of work, but it was a lot of fun. I had so much fun doing it. We put 6 total jackets in her store and we sold out. Completely sold out. Every single jacket sold. And I also got a few custom orders from the boutique. So, you know, because we only had 6, and then there was a few people that really wanted the jacket, but I didn't have their size, or they sold out before they could get the jacket. So she gave out my business card and I got some custom orders from it. So that's been really fun. I've done several jackets since then. I've done a whole line of Razorback jackets, and then we have some family that live in Oklahoma and they're Sooners fans. So I got some custom orders from them and had a blast doing those. I'm making my son and myself some cute jackets. I made us some Razorback jackets, but I'm also making some other jackets that are gonna be really cute. And then my other niece, I made her a jacket for Christmas. It was unicorn themed, super, super cute. So I like to do like paint on denim, which is really fun. I get to just kind of be artsy with it. And then I can, depending on the jacket and what I'm doing, I can embellish it with some pearls, rhinestones, a name or saying or whatever it might be. But it's so fun. Also, my niece, her mom and dad wanted to give her a stool for Christmas. That's what she wanted, you know, a little step stool, so cute, that they bought like a plain white one off of Amazon and put it together and brought it to me to hand paint customs. And it turned out really, really cute. I'm actually quite surprised with myself. I guess I have a little artist in me I didn't know was in there, but I love it. I think what I love about it is, and this is all part of today's topic too, is it's kind of therapeutic. It's a little bit of a release for me because it's so fun. I get to, you know, I come upstairs at night when my toddler's asleep. My husband's usually down there watching a basketball game or something. And I'm up here in my own little space, in my little creativity bubble. I usually put on a show that I binge watch on Netflix or Amazon Prime or whatever. And I just get to work. I paint. I decorate. I'm also now embroidering, sewing and embroidery. So that's new as of this past week. And it's just been so fun. So that's what's kept me so busy on top of some other things. We've had several losses recently, family members. Also Charlie Kirk, I'm just gonna say it. That was a huge one for me. Charlie Kirk assassination. I don't know if we're gonna get into that, okay? I'm debating, do we have an episode on it? Do I bring on a host? Do we talk about all the conspiracy theories, or should I say non-conspiracy theories? I don't know. There's a lot to unpack there. I don't know if I have the energy to tackle that just yet. But I have always been a Charlie Kirk fan. And when you put all the other stuff aside, the event itself was so upsetting. And for a solid 2 days, I wept. I didn't even know him, but I think a lot of us felt like we did. Those of us who know of him or have followed him for a long time. And it just felt like a loss to all of us. Really just the thought of these innocent children losing their father. So at the moment, before I knew anything else, before I went down the rabbit hole of all the other information and things that we've discovered, that thought alone was so upsetting to me that I wept for 2 days on and off. I could not help myself. I couldn't control it. And as soon as my boys would walk in, coming home for the day, as soon as I saw them, I just felt like this overwhelmingly sense of like gratitude, you know, I just felt so grateful, and cherished what I have. But all of that just felt so heavy. So that kind of took some energy from me, a lot of energy from me. And then my whole household came down with back-to-back illnesses. We didn't even go get tested because what's the point? But RSV was going around the daycare like crazy. And gosh, I think even the stomach flu. We had a touch of the stomach flu. Everyone got sick. That will drain you. And then you go right into the holiday season and things just get busy, you know, and you just feel like you're going nonstop, and it's a lot, it's draining, and I'm not ashamed to say it, I still have issues with the loss of my mom and all the anniversaries that come up around this time of year, because this was it. We found out that she was very, very sick in November. And then beginning of December, we found out just how bad it was, that she was terminal and we were going to lose her. And then all of December was, you know, chemo treatments and daily talks with nurses and physicians and in and out of the ER and then in the hospital. And then, you know, eventually things got so bad that she had to go home on hospice, and then she passed in mid-January. So that anniversary is coming up. And I cannot express to you, unless you're a listener who has been there and you understand, I can't express to you how difficult it is to be in this position where, you know, you want to make the holidays feel special for your loved ones, your husband, your children, your child. Everyone around you expects you to, you know, come to the holiday parties and be your normal self and engage in the conversations. But all the while, in the back of your mind, you're just dying inside a little bit. You realize there is a huge void in my life. There is a massive void, period. And we're missing an important component to all of this that makes it special for me, right? So I'm having to make it special for everybody else, specifically my, immediate family, all while the person, the one person that made it all so special for me is not here. And that is so heavy to carry day in and day out. And no matter how distracted I try to keep myself, it will linger on my shoulders. It's so heavy and it just lingers and it comes with me everywhere and it's in the back of my mind. And then all of a sudden you can't ignore it anymore and it just knocks the breath out of you and you just fall apart every year. And I think it's going to be like that for the rest of my life. We've talked about this in previous episodes, right? This is the whole reason I started the podcast. So I want to spend a little bit of time on this, but it is exhausting, overwhelming, and it just kind of steals a little bit of your energy and joy. I don't even really know how to advise people how to get through that anymore because I haven't really figured it out myself, to be honest with you. I just feel like, here's what it feels like. It feels like you're constantly waiting for that person to show up and they don't, or you're constantly waiting to get to go see them, but you can't. And I think your brain kind of tricks you into making you feel like, yeah, we're going to go see them soon. Or, yeah, they're going to come see you soon to help you get through the day to day. But then when you finally take a moment to acknowledge the fact that it's not going to happen, it hits you like a freight truck and it knocks the breath out of you and you just weep. I mean, there's no other way to describe it, but weep. And that did happen to me a couple of times. One of which I was at home with my boys. We were exhausted and going through our nightly routine. I did not feel like cooking. I had been so, so busy. So I said, let's order out. I'll go pick it up. I needed to get out of the house and I needed to be like alone for a minute just to like decompress. And I probably had only been gone from the house maybe 3 minutes, maybe not even 3 minutes, and I lost it. I wept so hard all the way to the restaurant. I had to clean up my face as best as I could so I could go in and get the food. Got back in my car, wept all the way back home. I came in, I went straight into my husband, sobbing, could not breathe hardly, and probably scared the crap out of him. He was like, what's wrong? And I didn't even have to answer. He knew immediately. He was like, he just held his hands out, his arms out, wrapped me up and said, is it mom? And I just cried. I just fell apart right there. This is overwhelming feeling. It just takes over and takes your breath away because that person is not here. And I'm watching this beautiful little boy of mine grow every single day. He's just getting so big. And my mom's not here to be a part of that, to get to enjoy that with me. I don't even know how to put into words how that feels. I don't know that there are words for it, but you know, if you are here with me in this stage of life and have gone through this and have lost your mom, raising a child without her it's an entirely different experience from women who have their moms when they start their family. And I'm going to get into that. But on top of all of that, my toddler son also has been very wild. Okay, I don't know what has gotten into him. Please, someone, if you guys have been here in this like between 1 and 2, right? Because he's like 19 months now, but that age between 1 and 2, everybody talks about the terrible twos. Nobody talks about the between 1 and 2, okay? There's a whole different human being in there. I'm not even sure he's a human being. He's like a gremlin. He is wild, this kid. I don't know, like, I joke about this all the time, but I'm not joking. I feel like he might need a helmet and some bubble wrap or like some, or maybe I need it. I need it, all right? Because I'm constantly getting smacked in the face, whacked in the head. It's like he thinks we're in a WWE match or something. I don't understand it, but it's funny, but not funny. He's so wild that we don't go out to eat anymore. I'm telling you, I mentioned earlier, we got takeout because we just don't go out to eat anymore because it makes us miserable. Are you guys here? Are you there with me? Like, help me feel less alone, please. That's the whole reason I started this podcast, is so we can connect and not feel alone in these life struggles. He loves to free fall off of anything, like he's diving into a mosh pit with nobody there. He won't sit still. I mean, maybe for 3 minutes while he's eating. As soon as he's done, He wants to get up and go. He can't sit still in a high chair. That's why we don't go out to eat, because this is what we normally do. As soon as we get to the restaurant and we get seated, we're like, hey, can we go ahead and place an order for him immediately and y'all get that out as soon as possible? They're like, sure. So they do. We distract him with a few things, snacks and little games and things like that, till his food comes out. While he's eating, we order, we finally get our food out. But by the time our food comes out, we might get a couple of bites in, and then my son is done. He wants out of his high chair. He wants to run around the restaurant. He'll walk up to people's tables. He'll give random strangers hugs. It's kind of cute, but also not. And he thinks it's a game, right? You can't go chase him. He thinks it's a game. And then when you finally do get him, he's going to scream like you are torturing him. The judgment I used to have for kids in restaurants, it's gone. As a matter of fact, I feel bad forever judging a parent because of their child in a restaurant or a store or whatever. Now, there are situations you can 100% tell that there's some maybe not so great parenting tactics, but for the most part, I have seen, all-star parents who looks like they're doing everything right by the book have the most wild kid. And now I feel bad. I don't think that we're all-star parents. Don't get me wrong. We are not perfect, but we're pretty good. I don't know. But you guys, he is wild, and it's exhausting. And he's also gone through a major sleep regression for like 2 months, I swear, maybe longer. I think it was longer, actually, maybe 3 months. It was bad. It was like we were back at the infant stage again. I'm not kidding. There were some nights that we at least woke up one time a night. Every single night we woke up at least one time, but it was mostly like two or three times, and even sometimes four. Now, sometimes it was because he may have had a tooth that was bothering him, or like he did get sick. We got the stomach flu, something like that. But every single night for 3 months straight, there's a sleep regression during this, between the one and two, around the 18 month mark. And it was bad. So it got to the point where we were actually going to hire a sleep coach. So it's called, yeah, a sleep coach. We spoke to one who a friend of mine hired for one of their boys, and she just raved about her. So we called her. This is like on a Thursday night. We had a great conversation with her, and we were ready to pull the trigger and hire her to help us get through this. Because if you read what all the baby sleep experts say that you should and shouldn't do to get your child to sleep through the night, some of those things are hard. And it would just be nice to have an expert guide you along and, make you feel less guilty or less bad because you're changing things up and you're having to like ignore your motherly instinct to respond to things. So yeah, we were ready to hire a coach. What we did is we took a deep dive into all the research behind getting your child to sleep through the night from all the experts we could find. And we were like, all right, look, here's like at least a handful of things that we could improve, that we could change. And I'm going to share this with you guys. Maybe you might be in the situation right now where this could help you. We told the lady, we said, okay, it's Thursday night. We're gonna start implementing these things, these major things that we know that we can improve on, we can change tomorrow night. And by Monday, if we have seen zero improvement or we have failed at implementing them, we're gonna hire you. But if by Monday we're seeing some improvement, we might just keep going a little bit longer and see if we can handle this on our own. And sure enough, you guys. By Monday, this little dude of mine was sleeping through the night. I kid you not. So here's what we did. All right. Number one is we pulled back on screen time. Now, he doesn't get a lot of screen time as is. We try not to use the TV. However, in the mornings when we're getting ready for, we're rushing around the house, Kevin getting ready for work and me getting our son ready for daycare and then me getting ready for work, we usually have the TV on. We would have the TV on, whether we were watching the news or his favorite show in the background, Bear in the Big Blue House, we would have it on. And then sometimes at night too, when we were like eating dinner, we would have the TV on. And so what these baby experts are saying is that even if you're not planting your child in front of a TV with like Finding Nemo on, something that, that's very stimulating for the child, just having the TV on is stimulation. And if you think about it, it really is. I mean, it's noise in the background. It can overstimulate. And if it can overstimulate us as adults, it can definitely overstimulate kids, babies. So we said, okay, let's just go for at least a week and see if this works. No TVs, not in the mornings, not during dinner. For him, no screens. Number two, we have had a pretty decent bedtime nightly routine and schedule for a while. And we didn't change that, except for we did move his bedtime up. Because looking at the sleep needs and typical sleep schedules for his age, we needed to up his bedtime by an hour. So we did that. And then I would say the number one biggest thing that made it was the difference maker. And you've probably heard this before, but it is putting him down in his crib awake. Putting him down in his crib awake. Okay, so I've heard this 1,000 times. I've read it so many times. Everybody, all the experts, pediatricians, baby sleep experts, they all say, put your child down sleepy, but still awake. And this teaches them to fall asleep on their own so that if they do wake up through the night, they can fall back asleep on their own without you having to come in and intervene. And I always thought to myself, well, what difference would that really make? Okay, because we've always rocked Parker to sleep, always, since day one. We'd go through our whole nighttime routine with bath time, brush hair, brush teeth, read a book, and then turn the lights out, rock him, pat his little booty. I would sing to him or hum to him. And then once he fell asleep, we would transfer him to his crib. Everyone will tell you, don't do that. That was the hardest thing. And that's what I meant about having a sleep coach, someone to help guide you through that and make you feel less guilty for letting them cry. We never let him cry it out. Okay. I could never do that. You just can't. And if you look at all the research that's come out by now talking about the long-term effects of this, like what it really does to a baby, no, let's just not do it. All right. But we would do the Ferber method where they cry, you go in, instead of picking them up out of their crib, which we did, we used to do that. We'd pick him up and get him back in the rocking chair and rock him back to sleep and then put him in the crib. Big mistake. Instead of picking him up, then just gently lay him back down and then, you know, shush a little bit, whatever, and then walk out of the room. Even if he's still awake, walk out of the room. And then if he would cry again, we would give him a few more minutes. So the first time, maybe he cried for 3 minutes and we would go in. The next time he'd cry for 5 minutes and we would go in. So we did do that. We started putting him down in his crib, awake, sleepy, drowsy, rubbing his eyes, yawning, sleepy, but then awake. And the first night we did that, I think we had to go in 3 or 4 times before he finally settled and went to sleep on his own. The next night, I think maybe a couple of whimpers, maybe we went in 2 or 3 times. The next night, maybe a tiny little whimper, we didn't have to go in. And then the next night, he didn't even cry. Okay, so by like night 4, I think, he didn't even cry when we put him down in his crib. Now, this was like how many months ago? Maybe 2 or 3 months ago. Now, we go through our nightly routine and we read a book, we turn out the light, I sing a little song or hum, or my husband, whoever's putting us down, and then we put him in the crib awake. I tell him goodnight, I love you, give him all my kisses, and then put him down in his crib awake, and he literally goes straight down on his belly, eyes closed, curled up, and he is out for the night, and he will sleep through the night. It is amazing. So I'd say that is the number one. The biggest change we made that has helped to get him to where he is. Now, if we could just get him to sleep in, he won't sleep past like 6:15. Randomly, he will give us a 7 o'clock, which is so nice. But for the most part, he's up at like 6 o'clock. And you guys, getting up at 6 o'clock on a weekend when you don't have work, you don't have any meetings to, you know, jump on at 8 a.m. Like, it'd be nice to be able to sleep until 7, but no, he wakes up at 6:15-ish, maybe 6:30. So all of those things that we have had going on just left me with nothing but an empty cup at the end of the day. I had zero energy to pour back into myself, let alone record and edit a podcast. Because believe it or not, this takes a lot of time. It's just a lot. with what all I've had going on. However, we are in a nice groove now. We are in a nice steady pace routine. It's a new year. I am feeling super excited about all these new things we have going on that just kind of came out of nowhere. Work for one, I love my job. I love my job. I do. I love my team that I work with. I love my colleagues that I work with. I love my management. I love talking to my customers. I love everything about it. I'm so grateful for that. I will tell you, I prayed so, so hard for this job because I knew this is what I wanted to do. And I don't know. I mean, God has just really blessed me in that, because I can't tell you how. You might actually know what I'm talking about, to be in a job that you, I mean, not just dislike, but you just hate showing up for every day. That is miserable, you know? And to now show up for work and it not feel dread or anxiety or just depressing is such a blessing. So I'm super grateful for that. I think we're going to have some really exciting things going on in our company in the next several months. And I don't know where that's going to lead to, but I'm excited to find out. Also, this whole jacket business, which I plan on turning into more than just a jacket. I don't want to elaborate too much and spoil all the goody details, but I'm excited. It's an artistic outlet, creativity outlet. And I like to make things pretty. I'm one of those people that I like things to be pretty. I like to make them pretty myself, whether it's home decor and a room that I can decorate or theme. Or for instance, my husband and I play golf, and I said, Kev, I said, I love my clubs. They're ping ladies clubs, and they're black and red and white. My bag is like a black and red and white ping bag. I said, why can't I have some pretty pastels? Like, where are the pretty pastels? Now, some of the golf companies are on it, right? G4's got some cute stuff, some pastel gloves and women's clothing and things like that. But like, where are the pastels in the clubs themselves and the bags, you know? And I'm not just talking pink, all right? I'm sick of pink. Not really. I don't think I could ever get sick of pink. I apologize for that. I love pink. But some pastel yellows, baby blue, my favorite, lavender. Oh my gosh. So I just love things to be pretty. And I told him, I love my clubs, love my bag, but no, I don't love my bag. Just kidding. Love my clubs, but can we make them prettier? So we bought new grips for my clubs, and they're lavender. Oh, they're so cute. Lavender with some like green details on them. Really cute. Probably looking at getting a new bag for Mother's Day. New bag, pastel blue, but that's what I mean. Anything I can make prettier, I'm going to make prettier. So these jackets, t-shirts, I've been making bracelets, putting outfits together, and I have this whole vision in mind for what this might turn into. So I'm super excited to see what that looks like in 2026. We'll you know, I'm gonna take it slow. We'll see how it goes. But that's super exciting. And then my podcast, I'm back at it. We have so many things to talk about. I've got people that I want to get on here, and that's coming soon too. So I'm just looking forward to a good year. Then working on my New Year's resolutions, which my number one is to prioritize my sleep hygiene. Having a baby has completely wrecked my sleep hygiene, and it sucks. It lasts for so long too. And this is what I struggled with before. I know that when I don't sleep or don't sleep well, I get sick. I mean, everybody, we're human, right? It's everybody will. But just as a female and how much our bodies rely on sleep, that's what controls our hormones. Immune system, making my sleep a priority and getting back into a good habit. This is my year. Also taking a step back from and or cleansing social media. I don't know about you guys, but social media has been a problem for me. And I've been here before, but I just feel like I get too comfortable in it. I have completely deleted my social medias before. I'm considering doing it again. I just don't know how that works with podcasting and then my jackets and all that, that I do have an Instagram for. Maybe I'll let someone take over that. I don't know. But social media is just too heavy right now. It's too heavy to constantly be on and everything be in your face from one minute we're pushed to buy something. All these influencers are, you know, pushing this, pushing that, a new outfit, a link here, whatever it might be. And I'm not talking about like occasionally a friend who posts, hey, I know you guys love this and it's a good deal. Here's the link. I'm talking about the influencers that are making millions of dollars on us buying crap we don't need. That whole influencer era, I think is on its way out. I really do, because there has been a complete shift in the engagement in social media to the point where they're complaining about it publicly on their platforms, complaining about it. And it's insane. But their argument is this, which I totally get, and I love that they're being outspoken about it, is that they started following these influencers based on the content of them showing them something that was beneficial to their lives, right? How to apply makeup, how to use this bronzer, how to do your brows, you know, or whatever it might be. Mostly it is the fashion and beauty industry, but these influencers that are making bank off of, you know, pushing products for you to buy, they get a commission from, and they go from these humble new beginnings with a YouTube channel to millionaires with brand deals and free products out their ears, and living in some mansion they're constantly showing off, and going on shopping sprees that are $2,000, $3,000, $5,000 a day to people who can barely afford gas or groceries. I mean, what kind of sick, twisted culture is that? I don't like it. I don't like it. You're not adding to people's lives. You're making them feel like crap because we can't afford to live like that. And then what? We're putting that pressure on ourselves to level up? I'm out. I'm done with that for 2026. And everybody should be. We are done with it. Content should be about, can you bring something beneficial, joyful to someone's life? I think that's what we should see more of. I kind of went down that path before where I unfollowed a bunch of influencers that just made me feel inadequate. You know what I mean? Like they're rolling around in their $200,000 G-Wagons and carrying a different Chanel bag every day and then coming home to a mega mansion in wherever, LA, Texas, I don't know. But it's too much. It's enough. We've had enough. We don't live like that. And all that is doing is putting pressure on us to live that life. I guess I say us, I don't feel that pressure. I have everything I need more. I'm done with that. I think everybody should be. But people are speaking out about it and I love it. They're telling these influencers, hey, this is not what we want. We're not getting what we want from you. So that's why you're not getting the engagement. We're scrolling past now. Let's keep that up. Let's keep that up. And that kind of changed my mind about deleting all of my social media. Cause I thought, okay, if we want more content that's going to help enrich someone's life somehow, some way, why don't I be a part of that versus disappearing? Unless I really need to take a break from it. But the influencers, the news, the conspiracy theories, all of it gets too heavy, too much, and it's a distraction and it wastes energy. So one of my top three priorities is that, to take a step back, cleanse from social media. If I feel like I need to delete, I will. If you're following me on socials, I'll give you a heads up. but that's where we are. And I want to give content that makes people feel good. Get rid of the things that are just toxic, waste of time, and replace it with things that are going to be enriching, beneficial, or, you know, serve me in some capacity in a good way. So yeah, that's where we're at. And I think this is part of that. So the whole purpose in me starting the podcast is so that I can connect with others who are going through the same life stages or seasons and feel less alone, because that's what helped me get through it. I've talked about this before. When I connect with other women who have been in this place before me, have experienced this before I have, and know that they survived it, that's what gives me hope and makes me feel less alone when I'm in the throes of it. And I wanted to give that back to our community. On top of now being a mom and the struggles of being a mom, a working mom, balancing life, the mental load of motherhood, which I think should be its own episode, all of those things so that you feel less alone. This is a whole purpose of connection, to be there for each other, to be a community, to communicate, to share, and feel less alone. So we can continue to use social media like that and really create connection, I am here for it all day, any day. But that negative energy, that toxic stuff, the noise, the distraction, that's got to go. It's 2026. We're moving on. Thank you guys for tuning in, staying to the end of this episode. If you have, I am super grateful for you. Just know that I love the feedback. I love getting messages from you guys, letting me know that you're listening, answering questions that I ask you during the episodes, and just sharing in things, saying, girl, I'm right there with you. I love it. Keep that up. I have some fun episodes planned going forward, and hopefully we get to connect even more with some of these topics. So thank you guys so much for listening. I am so grateful that you're here. And until next time, have a blessed week, you guys.